Hello, I'm Dan Margulies, filling in for Sam Zeff. Introduce yourself, please.
I'm David Haley. I'm state senator in Kansas, representing Wyandotte County.
Welcome. Roll the open.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff. We're using coffee and donuts to help us better understand the historic legislative session underway in Topeka. The issues and the people in the Kansas legislature. Here we go.
Again, I'm Dan Margulies, filling in for Sam Zeff, and joining me in the studio today, first in our citizen voice seat, is Ron Newton from Linwood, Kansas, which is in southern Leavenworth County, I believe. And in our off-brand journalist seat is my colleague and friend Jim McLean, who is executive editor of KHI News Service in Topeka and a partner of Heartland Health Monitor, which is based here at KCUR. So first of all, David, is it okay if I call you David?
Please.
We'd like to get to know you a little better. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your family and what got you into politics?
Well, thanks again to you, Dan, and Sam in his absence for having me here on State House Blend. I'm pleased to be here with you and with Ron and with my longstanding friend, Jim McLean. I'm a second-generation Kansan, and I represent Wyandotte County, which is Kansas City, Kansas, by and large, in Topeka. This is my 21st year. This is my father, George Haley, was the first black state senator and started 50 years ago this month. I have to mention that. It's Black History Month, and we did recognize that the other day. So I'm the second generation to serve in the state senate. I came in because I noticed inequity in housing. When I was an attorney at McDowell, Rice, and Smith, I started looking at ways that we could cure the inequities of rental properties and make them more homeowner, especially when we were demolishing them. And it's been an interesting 21 years now, having served 6 years in the House and now 15 in the Kansas Senate.
We'll get to your tenure in the legislature in a moment and get some more detail about that. But first, if you don't mind, David, I'd like to ask you some personal questions. You have kids, right?
I do.
How many?
Four.
And can you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, I'd be pleased to. We have a daughter, to the extent that I know, right? Because we have a 19-and-a-half-year-old. She's in her second year at Wellesley, my daughter Mariah. We have an 18-year-old son who's finishing up high school gladly this year. This is his last semester. And then we have a 14-year-old. And then our baby girl just turned 13 last week. My former wife and I have the four. She is a pediatrician here in the metropolitan area.
Nice. My colleague Jim McLean tells me that you are somehow related to Alex Haley, the famed author. Is that so?
Well, thank you again. This being Black History Month in February, I appreciate that. My late uncle, Alex Haley, my father, George's brother, was the author of several well-known, I guess, stories, Roots, and certainly the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Right. Did you get to know your uncle?
Oh, yes, very well. He was the uncle that enabled, if you will. We all have a family member who kind of a parent looks on and says, "You did what?" And that was my Uncle Alex for me for much of my life. And we have very dear memories. He helped me to grow and to mature maybe a little quicker than others would have liked.
That's great. Let's open it up to our guests right now. Ron, do you have any questions for David?
As a citizen, I'm concerned about the amount of money in campaigns and where it comes from and what kind of influence it has on legislatures. And if you could tell me, you know, what kind of campaign reform you would support, I would like to hear that.
Well, Ron, I'm very, I join you in that concern. You know, we, ever since Citizens United kind of unbridled what campaign contributions there could be, we have seen those, in our state, in Kansas, like the Koch brothers, be defined not as a corporation, but as an individual, and that individuals have no limits. Certainly, Missouri has its own problems. Certainly, a well-known billionaire, Rex Singfield, out of St. Louis. And that concerns me. As a two-time candidate for Secretary of State in 2002 and 2006, being the nominee, the Democratic nominee, I was very proud to have run on that reform. Of course, that predated the Citizens United decision. Our Governmental Ethics Commission, I think, by and large, has helped to define better what lobbying is, what amounts can be received in Kansas. For example, being in session right now, no legislator can receive from a corporate entity, no matter what Citizens United says. And so the Koch brothers cannot directly influence what's happening in the legislature. I think there's a lot of need for reform, even more so in Missouri, where it's kind of the Wild West of campaign contributions. I understand their legislators can receive right now while they're in session from those lobbyists. We have a long way to go to look at what those campaign contributions should be and how it influences power. It's disproportionately so in Kansas right now, and we see what the net effect has been in terms of wealthier entities receiving tax benefits at the expense and the continued demise, I think, of the well-being of those who don't have the money to contribute.
Thank you. I'd like to a question on the tax cuts and such that they've been going through and the effect that it's had on money going to the various governmental bodies. The cutting KDOT's highway funds, I've worked in heavy construction highway work before I retired, and I've seen that as that infrastructure wears out, it gets to a point where it's so wore out, you can't fix it. You have to tear it out and replace it, which is a lot more expensive than just, you know, taking care of it and maintaining it. How is it, you know, it's kicking the can down the road. How is the KDOT going to be able to take care of our infrastructure without the funds?
Well, Ron, first let me thank you for your service in keeping Kansas's highways have been one of the best in the country. We're a national model, I think, and that is because of your and many other dedicated state workers who took sparse resources and made us one of the models for the U.S. I'm grateful for that. As one who traverses the highway on a regular basis, certainly Missouri is trying to get to that status. The cut that you are speaking of, the sweep or the taking from our KDOT program, by the way, I did put my money where my mouth is. I had never voted for any tax increase or any fee increase until it came to the KDOT plan, for the plan to enhance KDOT, the one-cent sales tax that was dedicated to ensuring that we maintain the continuity that you and many of your fellow workers have provided us.
And my wife thanks you for that.
Well, many people do. Our highways are the greatest. I was glad to have contributed to
it. My wife was Deb Miller at the time, the Secretary of Transportation.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah.
You know, I never put that two together.
Well, now you have.
Well, good for you.
So she's not here, so I wanted to thank her. Thank you for her, because that was a courageous vote. I mean, that was you're referring to the T-Works program.
Yes.
That is supposed to be a multi-year program that is now being essentially dismembered because of the budget cuts.
Dismembered and swept, taking the excess that we raised, again, so that this administration can provide, continue to provide wealthy those that are in that top percent a tax break. And that's where our shortfall is coming from. I mean, it doesn't take any rocket science to do that math. And I take great umbrage, and several legislators do, that we were not misled at the time, but certainly our subsequent action, the renewal of the of a one-cent sales tax on the other end and of the highway fund for the T-Works are being taken to provide a tax break for those who don't really need it. And at the expense of our highways, potentially, though I hope not, and our schools, our public education, and just the level of imbalance should give any person, not just Kansans, but any Americans, great alarm as to what is happening with this administration and the minions in the legislature that are contributing to this grave imbalance in the implementation of state government programs.
You are a Democrat, David, and that's a vanishing species in the Kansas legislature. Do you ever feel like you're swimming upstream? And
that's putting it nicely, Dan. You know, and we just went through an election cycle in Kansas and in this country. And there were not only Democrats, but many lifelong Republicans. I was born and raised a Republican. My father is a lifelong Republican. But just because you're Republican doesn't mean you don't have common sense. And there are many common sense Republicans that remain. I was is definitely a vanishing species, what was then a Bob Dole Republican, as is my father. In Kansas, there has been an effort successfully, almost, to wipe out common sense, middle ground, laissez-faire Republicans. And they call them moderates, or some of them call them Republicans in name only. So what we were hoping to return to in the election cycle was just to implement the balance of dialogue or discussion, to realize that for those who consider themselves neoconservative or ultra-conservative, that there are many people who have genuine needs that need to be addressed and that state government helps them. It has been sort of an upstream battle, but there are many common sense people, though 28,000 fewer of them spoke, as should have, in the governor's race in November.
Well, David, can I ask you a question about that? Is that okay, Dan?
Yeah, please do.
We were talking before we came in the studio about this, but you know, I mean, since you brought up the campaign, and again, this is a conversation that can get out of balance politically, because you're a Democrat and the state is controlled by Republicans, and I think we should in a minute get into discussing the tax cuts and what the people who voted for them hope to see them do and whether or not that's happening. But just going back to the political campaign, you referenced the fact that Paul Davis, the Democrat, came pretty close to upsetting and unseating Governor Brownback. He got a lot of support from the moderate Republicans that you referenced, particularly in Johnson County. And yet, those moderate Republicans, people like Dick Bond, Audrey Langworthy, people who used to really be very influential politically, failed to deliver Johnson County for Davis. But more importantly, Wyandotte County's voter turnout was remarkably low this year. And people are pointing to that fact, that factor, as one of the things that might have cost Paul the race. So being from Wyandotte County, can you explain what happened?
Well, and I can't. I know we worked very hard, and we really did, Jim, and as Ron was referencing earlier, they spent a lot of money on this campaign. I mean, and the disproportionate amount of money that came in at the last
You're talking
moment,
about the Brownback forces, the governor, and people who supported him.
And I think now, looking back, 2020 hindsight, the U.S. Senate race that was going on, where $17 million was spent to drag amiable but incompetent Mr. Roberts back in over the independent Mr. Orman, was just really, just again, unlimited resources to bring out the base and then some for Mr. Roberts, who really, bless his heart, is just still in the Senate, but bordering on just a complete utter meltdown and embarrassment. And while people were there, who may not have otherwise voted to retain the seat for the majority that would be held in the U.S. Senate with Roberts' reelection, some who were still undecided about Paul Davis and who knows that Brownback has been utter dismal failure in his first year and that he's been bad for the economy, they still felt that since we're out, we might pull the
ticket. So you agree with the theory, the explanation that by nationalizing the U.S. Senate race and bringing in all those forces, which, you know, to protect the Republican majority in the U.S. Senate, that essentially Governor Brownback, that helped Governor Brownback, brought Republicans home and helped him beat Representative Davis?
I still will start by saying, or continue by saying, I really don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like a logical theory. I don't want to say that the masses who voted for him are ignorant, but the masses who did vote for him are certainly uninformed. And what concerns me, beyond the disappointment of last year's election, is what will happen to our state. They've had some demonstrations that talked about what Medicaid expansion would have meant to how many would not have, in fact, perished had they had adequate health care. Mm-hmm. I believe, and Ty Masterson, Senator Masterson, and I may not, that there is a residual responsibility that everyone who's elected should have to the people that they serve. You know, many of the people that create this mess will be insulated, that have created this, including the governor. We look at those who may have had, some said that the governor wanted to be presidential timber, Governor Brownback did. Well, when you look at also now Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, and the morass that he, too, with the same mentality, has created for the state of Louisiana, yet he's still trying to stay the course. Who will wear that mantle as we go into the 2016 election cycle? And they don't care, seemingly, about the impact that it has on the well-being of the people as long as they can cut their timber and show their ties to an allegiance to doing away with government as much as possible.
I'm going to bring Ron Newton back into the conversation in a moment, but I want to ask you about another piece of legislation that you sponsored recently, and that is legalization of medical marijuana. Can you talk about that a bit?
You know, 23 states now, as you realize, Don, 23 states have medical marijuana, some form. Even Missouri has the use of certain oils now. But 23 states in the District of Columbia now have that. And I believe that medical marijuana will be available. It's inevitable. It's going to be available in all 50 states. Public opinion polls show that, depends on what state you ask and what have you, that in excess of 70% of our populations, all across income levels, all across political party persuasions, all across ages, you know, from the very young to our senior citizens, that that marijuana should be made legal. Medical marijuana certainly should be made legal. The question we have in Kansas with my bill, Senate Bill 9, is will we be the 24th state to join the other 23 in the District of Columbia, or will we have to wait and become the 50th?
And what do you think?
I hearken to our roots and remember Cary Nation and Prohibition, and Kansas just recently got liquor by the drink and Sunday sales of alcohol. I hope we would have learned from, you know, our past and not repeat the same mistake to become the last state. I do not think Senate Bill 9 will pass in 2015, but I do predict that Kansas will join the rest of the states, the growing number of states that don't want to see people demonized or criminalized for simply finding a natural alternative to the chemicals that we ingest through prescription drugs.
Ron Newton, do you have any other questions?
Anyone, the members of the legislature, show any concern for the lowering of our debt rating? And I assume that the lower your debt rating goes, the higher your interest is. That's got to be of concern.
We in Kansas, we're kind of at a crossroads, as you know. Our credit rating suffered mightily twice. It was downgraded.
Yep.
Again, due to the policies and the revenue that was generated through the Brownback administration, we have suffered a great hit for what our credit rating. And until we can stabilize that, I don't know if they, and I say they because, as Dan has said, I'm in the distinct minority here,
yeah,
that they're the ones driving the car, you know. And so just hope that it's not over the cliff, further over the fiscal cliff. But I do think that we certainly should focus on trying to increase our credit rating before we look at minimalizing our debt rating. Or was that to the national debt, the federal debt?
No, that's our
I think he's talking about the credit rating.
Yeah,
credit rating. You mentioned Medicaid expansion just a few minutes ago. The federal government was going to pay the total cost of expansion in states that did it for 3 years. We're 2 years in and have missed out on that money. Governor Brownback has not been interested in expanding Medicaid. We have about 140,000 to 160,000 Kansans that would qualify for expansion, able-bodied adults who just can't afford their own health insurance. It does sound like there might be some discussion behind the scenes on that issue and that something could happen this session. What are you hearing on that?
Well, we've missed the ball a couple of times. First opportunity we had was to set up our health exchanges during the ACA. I think it was $31.5 million that we could have, Kansas could have, to set up our own.
Federal government gave a grant, correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, of course, in his infinite wisdom, because he didn't want to grow the federal debt, the Brownback administration rejected that $31.5 million off and quipped. I said, look, you know, they're setting up a website that's going to work well. It helps people compare their insurance opportunities, much like we see with certain car insurances right now. I would have found someone to do that for, what, $1 million, $1.5 million, and keep the other $30 million. You know, come on. But it didn't happen. And
now we're a federal exchange state, right?
So now we're one of the states, because we opted out, we have the federal model for exchanges. So continuing that school of thought for expansion for Medicaid, we have an opportunity, as you know, to have all of that covered through the expansion for, is it 3 or 5 years?
The federal share ratchets down over time to 90%, where it's supposed to stay. And so the federal government would pay.
Indefinitely.
Yeah, 90% of the cost for those who are become eligible through the expansion.
Well, again, I ask you, are you more concerned about the federal debt than the quality of health care afforded to the people who are living in your state? That is a philosophical question, I guess. I don't mean it rhetorically. I know how I'd answer it. I'm concerned about Kansans having access to quality health care and not going bankrupt if they are, as often happens, subject to some ongoing and debilitating illness and death.
And we should point out, by the way, David, that the federal debt has been going down, notwithstanding all the concerns about Medicaid expansion and other expansions of the federal government powers, that over the last few years, the federal debt has gone down. So that doesn't remain the concern, perhaps, that it has been for some.
I'm sure the financing of several foreign wars or no longer having to supplement that has certainly helped our bottom line, our nation's bottom line.
Right. Anyway, I think that's all the time we have for today, and I want to thank our guest, Senator David Haley from Wyandotte County. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
I want to thank our citizen voice, Ron Newton from Linwood, Kansas.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You bet. And I want to thank Jim McLean, executive editor of KHI News Service in Topeka.
Well, thank you, Dan. I really enjoyed it. And, Ron, it was nice to meet you. Appreciate you participating. Good to see you, Senator.
In our effort to get to know you just a little bit better, Senator, we're going to go out of the program with your favorite song. What might that be?
It's not Home on the Range, okay? Kansas.
Do you have a favorite song?
Actually, there was a song by Ronnie Laws called Every Generation that was one that I played time and again. That's an interesting, you could have given me some warning. Yeah, but that's an old song.
We want
song.
This to be as spontaneous as possible.
Wow, well, that was it. Every generation, I played that so much the neighbor said, turn that down.
That's great. Well, you can hear us every Tuesday on Up to Date with Steve Kraske and anytime on KCUR at KCUR.org. Search for State House Blend. I'm Dan Margulies, filling in for Sam Zett. See you next time. 'Cause every generation of us life reflects a movie scene often more than twice.